All right, while they're taking the offering up, if you're not there already, turn to Psalm 13. Had quite the busy week with company, family in, and different things going on. Of course, the 4th of July stuff that we all do, celebrate. And then yesterday we pulled off a surprise anniversary, 60th anniversary / 80th birthday party for my in-laws, which went well. We surprised them, and at that age, they didn't have a heart attack, so we're good. So, a guy I was working at work with, I was telling him about that and what we were doing. He goes, you know, it might not be too good of an idea to try to surprise somebody that's 80 years old. I said, well, we'll see. This might be the last one. So, but no, all went well. Do continue to pray for Brother Wagner, Pastor Wagner. We don't have any other news other than there's more testing coming this month. We'll let you know as soon as we know, but all we can do right now is pray. It's in the Lord's hands, and that His will be done in the situation. Nonetheless, if I, like I say, it's a busy week, so I have notes, but if at random time I call out one of my grandchildren's names, it's because I've been doing it all week. So it's about to come to a close. Luke and Autumn and their family are visiting a church down in Winchester today. They are planning, all their plans are to move back in the Virginia, West Virginia area come next spring. This is something that they've been praying about for years now, having a desire to get back this way, and they've took their time. They've been patient, and part of this trip was scoping out that area down there because Luke and a couple of his friends they have their own business, and one of them is coming back this way with him. Another one is moving to a different area of the country. But they're self-employed, so it's not just like you leave one job and go to another. They got quite the task on their hands in coming back here. They want to do the same thing and maybe broaden their horizons a little bit there with their business. So they are visiting a church, and he asked me about it, and I said, you know, you can look at everything online you want, and you'll never be able to tell till you walk in the doors and you meet the people, because the church isn't the pictures or the videos you see. The church is the people in there, So they will be back with us tonight, and then tomorrow morning they're start their trek back to North Dakota. So keep them in your prayers this week. They got 2 days, two long days of travel ahead of them. But I thank the Lord that they could be here. It's nothing like having your family together. We've thoroughly enjoyed the time we've had, and we thank the Lord for it. So let's start off here reading Psalm chapter 13. We get started on it this week, and not sure how long it will take. I've got it broken down into three main points. Definitely not going to get done today, but we'll get started on it. We'll see what the Lord has here for us. The Bible says here, Psalm 13 and verse number 1, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. We're getting into another psalm here, like many of them, that starts with a problem and ends with praise. This psalm is connected. We'll touch back on a couple verses back to chapter 10 here in a little bit. But 10, 11, 12, 13, and even into 14 seem to carry the same theme, that there's trouble in David's life. And most those that I've read believe, and I believe that this is a time when Saul was chasing after David and wanting to literally kill him, to get rid of him. And so we keep that in mind as we look at these verses, but we can apply these verses to our lives today. It's a short psalm, but yet it's one that we can relate to today. Here we find David describing his frustrations during his time of being hunted by Saul. The psalm can be an encouragement to those who are experiencing a time of lengthy troubles or trials, which seem to have no end. It can also remind us to be thankful to the Lord for the times he has brought us through these trials or troubles. You know, each and every one of us that know the Lord can say, as we read this, if we're honest, we can place ourselves here in this psalm. I have said some of the things that David has said here. And some may say, well, you shouldn't question God about that. I see David questioning God. I seen Paul asking God things. We see the Son of God asking God things. Remember when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, Jesus knew why, in his being part of the Godhead, he knew this had to happen. But yet, as a man, it drove him to that point. And it was the first time, something you and I could never comprehend, the fact that he was separated from his Father. Yes, each and every one of us have been separated from our fathers at some point, or are separated from our fathers, but not like Jesus and God. But David asked him here questions. I'll get getting ahead of myself here, but as we look at this, we'll break it down into 3 points. The first one is prayer in troubled times. The second one is performance in troubled times. And the ending of it, number 3, is praise in troubled times. We'll get started this morning here on the prayer in troubled times. David goes to the Lord in prayer when troubles come to him. We can learn from David. We would solve a lot of our problems, our troubles, if we would just went to God in prayer over them instead of trying to figure them out on our own. And I am guilty of that as much as anyone else, because I don't know what it is about me, but I like to just get things done myself. I like to figure them out. I like to, just be. And I don't know if that's just the man in me or what, or the way I was raised, but you know, I don't like sitting around letting somebody else solve the problems. God doesn't want us to necessarily sit around and do nothing, but yet we should first take our problems to the Lord. Each and every one of us have different problems. I face different problems in my life. Me and my wife, my family, we have different problems than you have. And you have different problems than we have. Pastor Cobus was sharing some things with me this morning and just concerns and prayers that we have for people. And I said, you know, God designs things in our lives and allows those things to come to pass because it what might be a good problem for me to have may not be a good problem for him to have. But maybe God can do something through my problem that will help me, direct me into God's way, and yet he'll have a different problem than I'll have. And maybe I wouldn't have any problem with what's going on if it came my way and it was his problem, but maybe he does, and God's going to work through that in his life or anyone's. I just using him and I as examples here, but God allows these things to come in our lives to bring us closer to him, to make us more like him. Because if we do like David right out the gate and go to God in prayer, well, a lot of us can question David's prayer if we just read the first verse or two of this psalm. We can say David's questioning God, but keep it again in context with the whole psalm. And I want to get ahead of myself to the end of the psalm here, but we got to keep it where it is. And David is to the point here of not the point of no return, but he's to the point where himself as a man, I would say David's to the point right here where I can't take anymore. And if each and every one of us, we'd be honest, we've been at that spot where we can't take anymore. I know that in my life, there's been times where I have just thrown up my hands and said, God, I don't know what you are doing or why you are doing it. And in frustration, and in my frustrations, just like David is frustrated here, in my frustrations getting to that point, just like David, God reaches down and he might not answer that specific prayer or problem that I'm faced with, but when you are one of God's children and you get to the point where you are so frustrated that you don't know what to do, what would we do? What would I do as a father if I knew one of my children had a need and was just to their wit's end, so to speak? Would I hide from them? Would I hold back blessing from them? No. I would comfort them. And even though, as an earthly father, I might not have the ability to say, Here's the answer to your prayer. Here's what you want. Here's what you need in your frustration. I probably don't have that, but what can I do? I can console them. And when I've been to the point where I'm so frustrated, God reminds me that I'm his child and that he will take care of me. Whether he answers that prayer in the way I want him to or not, he comforts me in knowing that I am his child. And I'm sure he has done that for you as well. But David goes to the Lord when troubles come, and we would do well to do the same. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 to pray without ceasing. our prayers should never really stop. We should be in somewhat of a constant state of prayer in our lives. Yes, we have to do things. You know, you men, even some of you women have jobs out, and you know, the work that I do, I am not constantly praying because I'm working and my mind is set up on what I'm working on, but I am reminded several times during the day about needs, about things that might need to pray for, and I can just simply pray for them at that time. That's praying without ceasing. Psalm 55 and verse 17, David said, "There's evening and morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." The same David that says here, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord?" says that God will hear his prayer. See, David's in a place right now that's pretty bad. You and I have no idea. I'm pretty sure I could ask for a raise of hands, but and there would be none go up. But who of us have been in a situation where somebody was physically hunting us for our life? I'm sure not a hand could go up in the building. So it's hard for us to grasp David's situation here, where Saul literally wanted to kill him and attempted to kill him many times. We know that through the scriptures and what it tells us about that story of where David was in his life. But yet, we don't have to be in that bad of a situation to come to our wits' ends, because we're soft today. I don't want to say we'll never know, because you're never to say never, they say. But, you know, I mean, there may be the time come where they're hunting for us as Christians. That time may come. It may come in our children's lives. It may come in our grandchildren's lives. If the Lord doesn't come back in the near future, that may come up. But right now, you and I don't have that, and we've kind of grown soft in this world we live in this country we live in, where we have such freedoms that we don't know exactly how David felt, but yet we know the frustrations of our individual problems, our individual troubles, that would lead us to say the same things that David says here. Remember this verse that we studied, this psalm a while back. I'll just read it. You don't have to turn there. But Psalm 61, we studied about a little over a year ago, where it says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Again, it's the same David that wrote Psalm chapter 13. He knows these things, and you and I know these things. We know that we're to trust God, and we know that when our heart is overwhelmed, that we want him to lead us to him, to take our hand, to get us through what we're going through. But just like David, we get frustrated sometimes. And we'll say the same thing. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? There's... As we go on further into prayer in troubled times, there's two points I want to look at under that. And the first one is the complaint in the prayer. And we see that here in verses 1 and 2. David starts out this psalm with a complaint. His complaint is one that many folks can identify, for we have all felt the same ourselves. I've just covered that. First part of that complaint we see is a delay in the complaint. He says, how long? In verses 1 and 2, four times he says, how long? In regards to his trouble. Four separate times in two verses, he emphasizes this to the Lord in his prayer. How long? How long? How long? How long? And that's where we get a lot of times in our frustrations with waiting on the Lord. David, we see, as because obviously we've read the whole psalm and we know how it ends. But again, we're trying to make application to us here today. And the fact that whatever we go through, know that it may seem long, but God will answer. And he might not answer in the way that we want him to, but he will answer us. Whenever we experience troubles, no matter how long or how short they may be, it always seems like a long time. And many times it feels like God is delaying his answer to us. We pray and we pray and we pray. And yet the answer doesn't come. And we get frustrated. How long a time does it seem to be, by way of example, when an emergency comes up in our life and we have to call 911? How long does it seem till they get to your location where you may be? You may live here in town. Preacher, it probably wouldn't take them too long to get to your house. It takes a little while to get to my house. We live up close to the great metropolis where Steve Wolf lives, and there's a nice volunteer fire company there. Is there paid people there? I didn't think so. So if we were in a fire situation, there would be some that come. When we lived over on Herman Hover Road, we had an emergency, a couple emergencies there, one dealing with Mason, one with myself, but it seemed like a long time till they got there. The Navy is stationed there at Camp David, and they have their own fire service there, and they'll come out. I've seen them out a couple times when there's a fire there in the mountain, so they were probably the closest ones. But it takes a little while to drag up the hill from Thurmont. And that's people that are in the station waiting on that call. And, you know, for you and I, it seems like a long time, but we're just talking about human people coming to our help in that situation. But it does. We can kind of relate that to our prayers to God sometimes, that we ask for help, just like we call 911 and we need help. And our situation to us, it's an emergency and we want the help right away. But to God, it's not always an emergency. Someone said one time that, how is that? You cannot blame me for your poor lack of planning. And that's true. You know, that's not a Bible verse, but, you know, again, God doesn't just, we're not puppets. You know, he wants us to plan. He wants us to do things, but we get frustrated and we complain. We're talking about the complaint and the prayer here that David has. And though we may think it takes forever for the fire service, the ambulance service to get to us, and none of us would call them if it wasn't an emergency. But yet, if we think about the things that we pray to God for. And again, our sense of an emergency might not be an emergency on his part. Sometimes God will answer them prayers just boom, right off the bat. And sometimes it takes a while. I think many times when it takes a while, he's just trying to polish off the rough edges in our lives. Get us on that wheel, as the Bible talks about. Is that in Jeremiah? The potter and the clay. And as he molds and makes that vessel, he's trying to smooth it out and make it a vessel of honor. And many times our troubles are just some rough edges that God wants to, so to speak, in a mechanics term, grind off of you. And it takes time to do that. It takes time to mold and to shape something in the way that God wants it to be and how we should be. So we can't expect him to be the fire service. The second part we see about the complaint is there's discomfort in the complaint. Here in verse 1 and 2, it says, how the second part of verse 1, how long will thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Discomfort in the complaint. The psalmist here lists 5 discomforts that come from prolonged troubles. Our prolonged troubles and things that come up in our lives are long. They're prolonged, they call them, and they last a while. And I've kind of broken these down in these verses to 5 different things that we see as we look into these verses. The first one we see in verse 1 is the experience of being forgotten. In verse 1, it says, how long will thou forget me, O Lord? You know, you may forget me, and I may forget you. I'm not good with names. I mean, I'm good with names here in the church. We've known you guys for many years. So I'm good with that. But let somebody that I went to high school or graduated with come up to me and say, hey, you're Ronnie Matthews. And I'll go, I am. And who are you? Because I literally, other than a couple guys I hung around with in high school, I do not know them. And I did have a guy in my recent job that a customer came in one day, and he did exactly that to me, and he was just chattering away, and I said, I'm sorry, but I don't remember you. And as soon as he said his name, I remembered him. And so I'm not good with names. I may forget people, and you may forget people. But as a child of God, David was a child of God, and he asked the question to God, how long will thou forget me, O Lord? It's a different thing to feel like God has forgotten you. And we can, you know, tighten our ties up and we can all look good. And you ladies can look beautiful and everything and put the smile on this morning. But be honest with yourself. There has to be a time. I know there's times in my life that I think God has forgotten me. And I'm just being honest with you. David says the same thing here. How long will thou forget me, O Lord? And then he kind of chimes in after the question mark and says, forever? Now, keep in mind what we've been studying. Turn back to chapter 10. Like I said, 10, 11, 12, 13 and 14 kind of all kind of fit together. But I'll just touch on a few verses here. Chapter 10, verse 1, "Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thyself in times of trouble?" We're talking about David's troubles this morning. And in chapter 10, in verse 1, he asked God, why are you hiding? Why are you hiding in times of trouble? Now, you and I know that God's not hiding in times of trouble. But yet, just like I spoke of a while ago, that clay on the potter's wheel, he's molding and making us into what he wants us to be. I didn't write these verses down, but I will glaze through here and see if I can catch a couple of them. Go to 11, Psalm 11, verse 1. "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul," excuse me, "flee as a bird to the mountain." Now that was the crowd telling David that he should flee. Chapter 12, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." He's asking God for help again, and then there's other verses through there, but then on up into chapter 13 and verse 1, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord?" The experience of being forgotten. God does not forget us, but it sure does feel like he does from time to time when the answer is delayed and we are not quickly rescued from our troubles. The second thing we see here in the discomfort of the complaint is the exclusion from God's face. It says here, "How long," in verse 1, the second part, "How long wilt thou hide thy face from me?" We know that in the scriptures, the blessing of God is related to God shining upon us. You've heard that saying before, God is surely shining upon their lives. We can see it. He's shining in their lives, and God's smiling on them. You've heard that before. The love of God really shines in his or her life, some may say. Therefore, if you were to say, like David said here, "How long wilt thou hide thy face from me?" It's the exclusion from God's face. And if you're not seeing God's face in your life, he's not shining upon you, then one would come to the determination that if the face of God is hidden from one, it means the lack of blessing in your life. And David was feeling like God's hiding his face. There's no blessing upon me. What shall I do? What am I going to do in this situation? And again, no one's chasing us for our lives right now like David. But there's something going on in each and every one of our lives that we'll feel like, you know, is God really, is he in this? Is he going to ever shine his face upon me for this? Trust me, he will. We'll get further into that as we get further down into the psalm. But the third thing we want to see here is the executing of plans in the complaint. It says, "How long shall I take counsel in my soul?" Chapter 13, verse 2. "How long shall I take counsel in my soul?" Here, David's troubles have brought him to the constant state of planning to avoid the perils of his troubles. When troubles come in their lives, we, boom, react. Like I said when I started out here this morning, boom, I want to fix it. I want to do it. I want to get it done. I want to figure it out. I mean, throw something my way, and then if it's an emergency, I want to figure it out. I want to get it done. I want to make it happen. And that's what David was doing. He was trying to, he was executing his plans in part of his complaint here. And it was a discomfort to him because he knew he was trying to get it all done, but yet God's face wasn't shining on him, and he knew something was missing, and he could not get out of this situation. I was reminded as I was studying that sometimes we are to just stand still and let God move. We found much comfort in a song years ago when Mason got hurt. And that was the title of it, Stand Still and Let God Move. Because even though we were probably and most likely were at the place where we thought God had forgot us and what were we going to do and how were we going to get through this, but we were reminded, stand still and let him do his work. And we found that if we just stood still and not panic, you know, the old get lost in the forest as a kid, hug the tree, stay there. It wasn't that we were tree huggers like all the people up and down 77. It was that that your parents emphasized that to you or your camp director or whatever you were at. That if you got lost, hold on to the tree. That meant you weren't running all over the place. Stand still and help will come and find you. And that's what we need to do. We need to yield to God. We're going to stop there because I have two more in the discomfort with the discomfort of complaint. And I will read them to you. We'll start out with them next week. And that is in the discomfort of complaint, we find the existence of sorrow. David says here, having sorrow in my heart daily. We've got several places we want to look there as well, and some things we need to be reminded of. And then in verse 2, that in our complaint of our prayer, we will find, in our discomfort of our complaint, we'll find the exalting of evil. It says here, how long shall my enemy be exalted over me? You know, David was in that situation, and it seemed like Saul was the winner. He was being exalted over him, but David was the one that was supposed to be exalted. But it just wasn't his time yet. But God works it all out. We know that. But we'll start out with that next week. Thank you for your attention. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the time we've had in your word, and the blessing it is to see how David reacted as troubles come his way, just very similar to the way we do. And Lord, I just ask that you forgive us for the times that we've complained, when we've wondered where you were at, Lord. In our impatience and our frustration, we've been driven to the place where we don't know what to do and we question you many times. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to find comfort in your word. Be a pastor as he comes now in the next hour. Give him everything he stands in need of to give us your word. I pray that hearts will be open and submissive to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.